Let's thank God. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this class. Thank you for this little refreshment. We pray that you would give me not a lot more years. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If I have a lot more years, I'd be 90. And not good for much. Okay, a little bit of review on obedience. Love requires obedience. Love requires obedience. There's no way you can love God without obeying God. He who says he loves God and hates his neighbor is a liar. Okay? Faith requires obedience. There's no way you can have faith and not obey God. Not disobey is not quite the same as obeying. If I don't steal or lie today, that doesn't mean I've obeyed God. It just means I haven't disobeyed him. Obedience is possible, Romans 6. And last week we talked about obedience is easy, meaning it's by grace. You're saved by grace, you obey by grace. It takes a try out of obeying. When we try, we're going to run out of gas. Did you get my... I realize efforts, I may not have made myself clear, that we have to have our IV tube connected to God. So we're working on his blood sugar, not on ours. His power, which so mightily works within us. All right? Before we get on the next one, which is obedience is super easy, since we're going to be talking about, we'll have regular teaching on evangelism, we're going to give a little bit of teaching on evangelism every day. Just because we're going to be doing evangelism often during this time. And this one started out to be Matthew 9, I think 28. Matthew 9, Jesus went through all, that's verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now he had compassion, he healed and preached the gospel. But these people were harassed and helpless, and he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Do you think that was true? Obviously true, or true or false, right? True. Okay, is it still true today? Yes.
Maybe not as true.
Maybe. Okay. But how do we know?
Because there's more of us around.
Okay. Well, then the harvest is more plentiful, right? Okay. There are more people. But what that... I'm going to change it a little bit. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That is saying that more people want into the kingdom than there are Christians who want them in the kingdom. Is that right? The workers are few. In other words, those people who are ready to be harvested are far more than the people who are ready to harvest. Is that... you follow that? Well, if it was true then, I think it's still true today because the scripture is still here. And all right. Now, what we're saying here, if you had to make a guess, what percentage of people in Moscow are Christians, all flavors, who are really alive in Christ, what would you say? Yes, Gavin.
Maybe 20 to 30%.
Okay. 25,000 people in town, is that right? Okay, and 20% of 25,000 is 5,000? Okay. A few people nodded their heads. You want to rescind back to the third grade? Okay, of these 5,000, what percentage of those are living like it and talking like it? I don't know. Not 5,000, right? Okay, that means if you're right on 5,000, then we've got 20,000 people left. Some of whom are ready to be harvested. And apparently, we don't know how many that is, but in John 4, where Jesus said to the disciples, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, they're white, all ready to harvest. They're ready to be harvested. And the whole city came to Christ at that time. Now, what we're saying is that in any given society, at any given time, somebody is ready right now to become a Christian. And Jesus sounds like it's a lot. More, certainly more than there are Christians who want them in. So one of the things, I want you to either think this or memorize this. Say, as you walk down the street, you don't know who these people are, but very likely, if 20% is right, then 80% of the people you meet aren't saved. Right? And what's more, you don't care that they're not saved. So, Jesus said, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Okay, so when you see the crowd, I want you to be moved with compassion. And these people who look intelligent and healthy, but are lost without Christ. And the Christians aren't moved with compassion. Now, it doesn't tell the disciples to go witness to them. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. So that's what we do. We pray the Lord of the harvest he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. He said, no. He might send me. I'm not ready to harvest. Well, that may be true. I gave you this little cartoon book, because I saw most of you reading it, for those of you who had it. And you don't have to read it now, but what I did find out is people can't stay away from comics. Everybody, there may be very interesting books, but if you put a comic book beside it, the comic book could get read first. I don't care whether you're a nuclear scientist. He'll read the comics first. Well, so will unbelievers read comics first. And this is a painless way to get some of the gospel through. Not comprehensive, not completely, but it's a way. So I want you to keep that, but I want you to keep it not very long. In other words, you get it in the hands of some unbeliever. Okay? There are only two commands. Jesus said, if you obey these two commands in Matthew 22:37-40, love God and love your neighbor, you just fulfilled all the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament has been fulfilled. All you have to do is love God with everything you are and love your neighbor like you love yourself. And you just obeyed all of the Old Testament. Very simple. Brought down to two sentences. Love God and love your neighbor like you love yourself. We'll be talking about obedience again today. But loving your neighbor as you love yourself is where evangelism comes in. Loving God and everything else, loving your neighbor like you love yourself, is where you fulfill the Great Commission. It doesn't say if he's a nice neighbor, it just says he's your neighbor. I'll probably bring some little thing on evangelism every day. I might not, but now we'll get back to the subject for today, and that is obedience. Obedience is super easy. When we talked about obedience is easy, it was by grace, it was by God's power. Now, super easy, look at Colossians 1:9. I'm going to read this probably more than once, but just for you to hear it, or ask some questions about it. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And, okay, how often has Paul prayed for the Colossians? All the time. Okay? I haven't stopped praying for you. Okay, now, I want you, do you know the word superlative? Some of you do. Superlative is a word where you can't get any more than. All. Most. Every. Those are superlatives. You can't have more than every. You can't have more than all. You've just reached the max when you use. Well, here he said, I have not stopped. That you can't improve on that. Okay? Not stop praying for you and asking God to fill you. How much is that? Up to the brim, right? Okay. You can't get more than full. Fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How much spiritual wisdom and understanding is this? All spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding, and you're filled. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. What is a life worthy of the Lord? Sinful? It's another superlative. It's another max. Jesus said, I always please the Father. He said, okay, you may live a life worthy of the Lord. And may please Him in every way. Okay? Every way is possible. You're going to please Him. Bearing fruit in every good work. And growing in the knowledge of God. That's the only one that's not a superlative. Because he doesn't say, I'll pray you know all about God. You can't know all about God. But he's praying that you grow in the knowledge of God. But up to that, it's all been superlatives. You be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, this is not a command. I cannot tell you, Paul could not tell the Colossians, be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We cannot do that. We cannot be told to be fruitful in every good work. We cannot be told to please him in every way. So these aren't commands at all. These are prayers to God that God would do it. I can't be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But if you pray to God that God would do it to me, I wake up tomorrow morning filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I know the will, I want to know the will of God. I'm filled with the knowledge of his will. All spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because you prayed that that would happen to me, that God would do it. I can't do it. So he's praying to God that God would do it. Now, if God does that, this makes obedience super easy. Right? Super easy. I wake up tomorrow morning filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I please him in every way. I am fruitful in every good work. You say, let's be real. This is not possible. Well, yeah, it's not possible. But it's certainly possible for God. And he's asking God to do it to these Colossians. He's never met the Colossians. He didn't lead them to Christ. He just heard about them. And he's praying this is happening to them. Well, now, if this is... Well, before we go on to the next thing, let's look at Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I'm praying your love will abound. You know what abound is? Overflowing. More and more. In all knowledge and depth of insight. Now you probably know some people that are very loving. If you know anybody that's very loving, makes you sick. Look at these loving people. Okay. And we think that these loving people obviously don't have any discernment. Well, he's praying that this love would abound in knowledge and depth of insight. We know people who seem to have a lot of depth of insight, but they seem to be a little bit hypercritical and not loving. So we know people with discernment for some time. My wife had, this is something she knows because she found it out. She had a critical spirit. She called it the gift of discernment. And the Lord convicted her that it was not discernment, it was a critical spirit. And she confessed it, called the whole family together and confessed her critical spirit. But we think of people with depth of insight and maybe a little bit critical. And when people think of loving of no discernment. And he's praying they'll be abound more and more in love with knowledge and depth of insight. That you're not conning this loving person. He can see through you. And he's praying that God would do this to the Philippians. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Now he's not telling these people to be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. He's praying that God will give them abounding love and keep them pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Well, if God answered that prayer... Oh, well, first, do you think it's a Spirit-inspired prayer? Okay, if it's a Spirit-inspired prayer, is God going to answer a Spirit-inspired prayer? Yes. He inspired the prayer, and he prayed the max. And if God's causing the prayer, he's going to answer his prayer. Look at Ephesians 1, maybe 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know him better. It doesn't say that you know all about God, just know him better. I pray also that your eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. And he describes his power. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's praying for the power in the Ephesians that took place when Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He's praying for much power. Now, if God answers this prayer, obedience is super easy. I'm abounding in love, overflowing with knowledge, wisdom. Now, these aren't the only prayers like this. He said, but I've read those before and I didn't see that. It's because we're just used to sliding over big things. Well, let's suppose I read it. Suppose you read it, and you say, well, Mr. Wilson says to pray like this for somebody else. So you can pray for me. You say, boy, but that's too much to pray. I can't pray this. That's too much. So I won't pray this prayer. I will cut it down to make it real. I don't want him to wake up tomorrow morning filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So I'll pray this. For this reason, since we heard about you, we have not stopped. Oh, we've occasionally prayed for you and asking God to partly fill you with some of the knowledge of his will through some spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order you may live a life partly worthy of the Lord and may partly please him in some ways, bearing some work and some good works. Now, why are you smiling? Because it's stupid. Right? You're talking to God, so you might as well pray for big things. But when we pray for big things like this, then it's easy for the person you pray for to obey God. I said that obedience is easy because we have the power of God, and this is how we get the power of God. I think God has blessed us, my family. I've been in the book business for many years, and I knew a salesman. We lived in Ann Arbor, had a bookstore in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and there was a book salesman for Zondervan, which is a Michigan publishing house. He'd come by and see us. Well, then we moved out here, and I didn't see this salesman anymore. And one day, I was at a booksellers convention. I forget where it was. Maybe in Denver, maybe in California. At his booksellers convention, I walked by a Zondervan booth, and I saw this Zondervan salesman. His name is Johnson. But he's busy with a customer filling out blanks, so I just tapped him on the shoulder to let him know I recognized him. I saw him, and he looked around and said, Jim, so I want you to know I pray for you every day. And it had been years since I saw him, and he was just a salesman. Makes you want to cry. Well, I don't know how many people pray, and I'm sure most people don't pray every day. We knew that Corrie Ten Boom prayed for our children. And Miss Rutherford Smith said she prayed for our children every day. She is a great missionary in Japan. She introduced me to Bessie. Now, I'm not saying that this has happened, but somebody's praying for me. And probably a lot of people. And I think I suggest you pray for people, and I suggest you get people to pray for you. It'll cut down the tragedies, it'll cut down the hazards, it'll cut down all kinds of things. And it makes you more likely to be obedient. We're not autonomous creatures. Any other questions? Now, do you think, if you begin to think that love requires obedience, faith requires obedience, not disobeying is not quite the same as obeying? Obedience is possible. Obedience is easy. And obedience is super easy. In other words, God did not save us so we could sin. He made it possible not to sin. Here's a verse to memorize. This is on not disobeying. In 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. In other words, you haven't gotten special treatment for the enemy. What you've gotten is what's common to everybody. Nothing unusual about the temptation you've gone through. The enemy is fixed in his ways. He doesn't come up with new temptations. The old ones work fine. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Is that true? Okay. When you're tempted, he will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Now, is this true? How often is this true? Yes, Margot.
Always.
Always. Okay, so that if you're tempted today and he provides a way to escape and you escape, then you didn't sin that time, right? Okay, how about the next time? And the next time? And the next time? The next time? People say, but that's not possible. We cannot keep from sinning. But what's your reference for that? You say, well, all of sin comes from the glory of God. Oh, you've already proved that one. He told us, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. He's made provision not to sin. And he's made provision to obey these great positive commands. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't just say, remember my little thing of all of your sins in the past are forgiven and go to heaven. And he's provided from the time you're saved to the time you die. Now he's provided grace to forgive you, but that's the second half of the sentence. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. In other words, he's made provision. He's got an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. But he told us not to fall over. And he's made provision not to fall over. Well, I want you to think that way, even if people think you are thinking something unreal. You're thinking God's thoughts after him. You're not looking for the exceptions. Now, I say, I want you to think this way, pray this way. Obedience is super easy. Then all this is available. God doesn't give grace in driblets. He doesn't pour out a little bit here. And the same with evangelism. Let's suppose we think of evangelist as somebody with a bucket, and the gospel is water in the bottom of the bucket. And so we go around, sprinkle a few drops here and here, on people, out of the bottom of the bucket. Or think of this, instead of a little bit of gospel in the bottom of the bucket, we are an artesian well, a flowing spring, an overflowing, and we just walk through the crowd and people get wet. Just because... who we are, what we are, not what we say. Do you know anybody that is like that? Okay? You know people that people just overflow, right? With love and joy and peace and people wonder what's with them. And finally, ask them. So one of the things you can do, and I'll talk in detail about this, but you can pray that somebody that you wouldn't even comprehend will come up and ask you why you are the way you are. They'll just shock you out of your... In fact, this just happened. There's a fellow who is very, very shy. He's 27 years old, but he's begun to walk with the Lord, and he's got joy in the Lord, but he doesn't open his mouth. And he thinks he should win this, but he's just permanently shy. So I said, well, what we do is we'll pray that somebody will ask you. He thought that was funny. Well, we prayed that, and this woman, who comes from a very fouled up family, came up to him the next day and asked him, and he's been talking to her about the gospel ever since. And he said, non-talker. So you can pray that somebody that you wouldn't even think of speaking to will speak to you. And I know you grew up in a Christian home and you're in a Christian school, so you might not know anybody who's not a believer. Do any of you know people that are not believers? Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty good percentage. So you pray that God will lead them to you. We'll go into detail on that when we get to evangelism, but we want to start it as soon as possible. And feel free to share when God answers that prayer. Okay, let's pray it right now. Father in heaven, each one of us belong to you. We are lights in the world. We pray, Father, that you would lead people, draw people to you through us, and have them come to us wanting to know something. Some of them may not even know what to ask, but they still come to us. We pray this would happen to each one of us here, that some unbeliever will approach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That takes the sweat out of it. I don't go knocking door to door much. I still do it, but I don't because people are knocking at my door. But it doesn't mean we don't have to go to them because we were told to go to them.